Black, insectile objects that rose up in a trickle that grew to a dense stream of them, flying up through the clouds. There were a few that broke away from the gleaming black torrent, but they were visible only for as long as they swooped around the warp well's glow. And now, here they were, clambering over mounds of shattered rock, heading for that icy radiance, with the Scot called McCrae acting as pathfinder. They had come over the ridge that had previously led onto the wide, hummocky rise at the rear of the promontory summit, only to be confronted with a jagged brink and a 30-foot drop. Moving south some way, they found some sloping ground which merged into the rubble field into which they ventured. And always overhead, that continuous upward cataract of pitiless enemies and the deep, hollow, rushing moan that it made. How many had poured forth by now? Thousands? Tens of thousands?
Great God, or Father Odin, or whoever's in charge, please just let us get there, set the bomb, and get out alive.
You look awfully grim there, Chief, said Rory. That you run out of baccy?
Worse than that, my lad. I just been thinking of all the good Black Eagle ale that's going undrunk at the moment.
That raised a few laughs.
Aye,
Rory said.
And the great deal whiskey going unsipped.
The girls going unkissed.
One of the hack-on-hair Norge grinned and waved a pointed finger.
The song's going unsung.
Yeah. And the heads going unpunched and the chairs going unbroken.
In the ensuing rounds of belly laughs, Teo almost failed to hear the clicking of metal on stone. Frowning, he turned and spotted a grey insectoid machine the size of a dog leaping from boulder to rock shard and heading straight for McCrae. The big Scot saw the warning in the others' faces before they could shout, and he had unlimbered his cleaver in time to swing it as the Legion mech reached him. Even as that happened, Teo spotted a second machine and a third, and was hastily bringing the Brolt rifle to bear.
Thrit!
They were less than 100 yards from the warp well. They couldn't fail this close. One of the stonecutter boys was jumped by yet another two of the machines, and he went down with his throat slashed open. The Scots and the Norge were armed with hammers, cleavers, nail guns and shotguns, and a group of them set about the ambushes with a will. Teo stayed near Rory and managed to pick off one mech as it dodged and swerved through the rocks. Grinning and laughing manically, he heard the warning shouts too late before something struck him across the shoulders. Knocked off balance, he would have fallen into a dark gap between a boulder and a tilted slab had he not jammed the big rifle between them.
Let me down, you rust heap of junk! If I get my hands on your mean neural junction and get a good yank, you'll know what hit ye!
It was a full-sized Legion cyborg, about 20 feet long, with various tool arms and tentacles protruding from its oddly starfish-shaped carapace. Rory was struggling in the grip of two smaller arms whose stubby graspers had laid hold of knots of his clothing. He was dragged from the rock shard he had clung to and was being lifted into the air. Out of nowhere, McCrae came running, made a mighty jump and caught hold of the edge of the cyborg's carapace. The cyborg rose unsteadily, trying to dislodge its unwanted rider with sudden jerks or by fumbling around with one of its tentacle pincers. But McCrae dragged himself fully on top of it, holding on grimly for a moment or two before spread-eagling himself across the under carapace. At this point, the cyborg was already moving towards the warp well and its vertical cascade of invaders.